Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this evening. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Tonight I want to share on the mind, speak on the mind, what kind of mind we are to have as believers, whose mind we are to have as believers. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Well, there is no example like the example of Jesus. He is our great example. He is our pattern. He is our model. We are to be like him. We are to look like him. We are to sound like him. We are to walk like him. We're to do life like Jesus did life. We're to have the same mind that Jesus had. The mindset we live with, the mindset we live out of, really does matter. Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we could ask, what mind is in us? What mind is in you? What mind is in me? These words, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is to be in us? What view? What opinion? As believers, we are to be like-minded as Jesus. We are to be of the same mind. We are to be of the same opinion. We are to think the same as Jesus thought. How did Jesus think? What mind was in him? Well, the Message Bible reads, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. You know, I love that it doesn't say, think of yourselves the way you want to think of yourselves. I love that it doesn't say, let whatever mind you want be in you. The text says, think of yourselves the way Jesus thought of himself. Let the mind of Christ be in you. So really, for the believers, how many options are there? One option. Let his mind be in us. We can't mess with the text. We can't rewrite it. Well, whatever mind I would like, I can run with that. We are exhorted by the Holy Word of God to let the mind of Christ be in us, in his view, in his opinion. The text is pointed. The text is precise. The text is directive. Let this mind be in you. The Voice Bible says, adopt the mindset of Jesus the Anointed. Live with his attitude in your hearts. We know we need his attitude. We need his attitude. We need his thoughts. We need to adopt his mindset. We need to adopt his view, his outlook on life, his outlook on people, his outlook on circumstances and situations. We need the mind of Christ. The New Century Version In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. 3 points tonight. Number one, he made himself of no reputation. Isn't it incredible that Jesus made himself of no reputation? You see, he wasn't trying to pump up reputation for himself. We read the Gospels. He didn't live that kind of life. He wasn't trying to pump up reputation for himself. He came to serve. He walked in humility. He made himself of no reputation. And this is the wisdom of God for our lives. Verse 7, the Passion Translation, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. Can we receive those words tonight? This world we live in is all about reputation. It's all caught up in reputation and caught up with reputation. It's what drives people, fuels people, influences people. And the truth is, it destroys people and pushes people to dark acts. Because they'll do anything to pump up reputation. Say anything. Associate with whoever they need to associate with. So to pump up reputation. Now, I'd like to say tonight that a good reputation is something to be cherished. It's something to be valued. And we read that in Proverbs 22:1. It says, a good reputation and respect are worth much more than silver and gold. But this is not what's being said here. What happens when rather than emptying ourselves of outward glory, we fill ourselves with it? If we don't live reducing self, self gets away on us. Self takes over. It consumes. What happens when rather than letting go of our advantages, we cling to them no matter what? I would say tonight, if it was fitting for Jesus to make himself of no reputation, it's fitting for us. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind, the mind of Christ. He reduced himself. He emptied himself of outward glory. He let go of his advantages. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mindset Jesus had. Number two, he took on the form of a bondservant. Verses 5-7, the New Living Version, think as Christ Jesus thought. Jesus is always being as God is, but he did not hold to his rights as God. He put aside everything that belonged to him and made himself the same as a servant who was owned by someone. And this word here, the word servant used, it speaks of a slave or a bondman, a man of submissive condition. It speaks of one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. It speaks of one who is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. It's a servant, an attendant. Verse 7 in the New King James Version, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. A bondservant was one who was free to go but chose to remain. He humbled himself. He took on the form of a bondservant. A servant who didn't want his own freedom, a servant who loved his master so much that he disregarded his own interests and devoted himself to his master. We read these words, it says that he put aside everything that belonged to him and he made himself the same as a servant, one who is owned by somebody. If this is fitting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is it not fitting for us? If this is the mindset that Jesus had as he walked on this side of eternity, is it not the mindset that is fitting for us? He came to show us how to do life. He came to show us how to live, how to walk on this side of eternity, how to think on this side of eternity. He is our great example. He's our great model. Does not the Father own us? Does not Jesus own us? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." John 13:13, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." A servant who is owned by someone. I'd ask the church tonight, does not the Holy Spirit own us? Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" And so Jesus came to show us how to live. He came to show us how to do life, that the same mind that was in him would be the mind that is in us. That's still his heart for all of us. That every single one that claims Christ would have the same mind that he had. It says, "Let this mind be in you." There is only one option for the believer. There is no other way. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. We take his mind. We adopt his mindset. That we would think of ourselves the way he thought of himself. We would live with his attitude. The truth, the Lord leaves the decision in our hands. What form will we take on, or what form will we take to ourselves? And the word "form" used here, the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision, external appearance. Isn't that amazing? What do those close to us see? What do those near to us see? What do those separate from us see? I would ask tonight, what strikes the vision? What external appearance? A servant who is owned by someone? Is that what strikes the vision? A servant who is owned by a master? Is that what strikes the vision? A servant who is free to go but chooses to remain, is that what strikes the vision? Is that what the world sees? A servant of God. One that has the mind of Christ. Number three, he humbled himself and became obedient. If obedience was fitting for Jesus, it's more than fitting for us. The problem is pride. That's a big problem. We have to humble ourselves and become obedient. Pride comes before a great fall. We have to let go. We have to humble ourselves. And we have to become obedient. And I love that it says that that's what Jesus did. The Passion Translation, he humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. And the message, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. That's what it's supposed to look like for us. A selfless, obedient life. And it carries us right through, right till the end. right till we step into glory. He humbled himself and became obedient. We know that a servant, a true servant, is obedient. A true servant gives their ear. A true servant attentively listens. A true servant is submissive. I believe we'd all understand this tonight and agree with this statement that you can tell whom a person serves. It strikes the vision. It strikes the appearance. You can tell whom a person serves. The agenda one serves. The convictions one serves. The passions one serves. The master one serves. You can tell who has their ear, and you can tell to whom they are attentively listening. How? The proof is in our actions. The proof is in our doings. The proof is in our convictions, and the proof is in our borders. It's the proof. You can tell whom a person serves. So many things that could be said here. We'll just let the Holy Spirit speak. In our homes, it's striking the vision whom we serve. Father, mother, it's striking the vision of your children. In church, you know, you can come to church all your life and serve yourself. Just because you're in the building doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you're in the building doesn't mean you're a disciple. Just because you sang some words and lifted your hands doesn't mean you're a disciple. We can come in and go through the motions and act out the part and be desolate at heart, and Jesus sees it. What strikes the vision? What of the appearance? The very one we lovingly obey came to show us just how important obedience is. To show us just how crucial obedience is. He came to show us just how powerful obedience is. He came to show us just how beautifully obedience adorns a person. It protects us and it prospers us. It delivers us and it distinguishes us. Obedience is a beautiful thing. And so what do? We do what the text says and what Jesus did, and we humble ourselves and we become obedient. We don't just come in and claim salvation and walk out the door and remain prideful and disobedient. That does not show a life of repentance. That is the opposite. When we come to the Lord, He owns us. And it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Philippians 2:8, the New Century Version, when he was a living man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God. Is God asking less of any of us? Is he asking partial obedience? No, he's asking for full obedience. And Jesus showed us that it's possible. But we got to get the right mind in us. Jesus' obedience was tried. It was tested. The enemy came after his obedience. How committed was Jesus to obedience? Well, let's read. As we've already read, and when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God. How committed? Here it is. Even when that caused his death, death on a cross. That's how committed Jesus was to obedience. Even if it meant death. Can I remind us tonight of Galatians 2:20? It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. That's normal Christianity. This is what it looks like. The essence of this new life is no longer mine. Really, it's a simple question tonight. How committed are we to obedience? And the essence of our life proves it. A servant of self is obedient to self. How many of you found that out to be true? The servant of the Lord is obedient to the Lord. The Lord has the servant's ear. The servant listens attentively to the Lord. The servant is submissive to the Lord. The servant delights to do the will of the Lord. The servant serves out of true love. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself and became obedient. Matthew 20:28 says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I thought about this simple text, yet it's so beautiful. We read this and we think that's great. But Jesus tells us that the greatest is a servant. And he's calling us to this life of servanthood. He lived a selfless, obedient life and died a selfless, obedient death. He set aside his own agenda and he served the Master. He served the Father and he gave his life back to the Father as a ransom to rescue. And so could we say tonight, Father, Master, Lord, here's my life. What do you need it for? A ransom? As you desire. My life is an offering in your hands. Take it as a ransom and use it to bring freedom. That's what Jesus did. Look at the freedom that came out of Christ's obedience unto death. The only reason we're living miracles is because of Jesus Christ's obedience. Because he humbled himself and he obeyed. Do you know the miracles that could take place because of our obedience? Because we humble ourselves and we obey? The miracle of our children growing in the Lord, never leaving? The miracle of a strong church in a nation where many say it's hopeless? We have to humble ourselves and become obedient. It's not the easiest thing in the world to humble yourself, is it? It goes against that carnal nature. Obedience, it's a rough one. We have to become obedient. I want to share words of David Wilkerson with us this evening. At one time, Moses had been held in high esteem, respected in high government places, great in reputation and prestige. He moved among the wealthy and was one of the best known men of his time. But when God spoke to him out of the burning bush, see Exodus 3:5, Moses had decreased to 0 point. God couldn't use him until he tore him away from his worldly attachments. Who knew Moses now? Hidden away, out of sight, silenced and without influence. He had no outlet for his great energy. But the very moment Moses reached 0 point, when his reputation was totally lost, when there was nothing left of the old self-assured Moses, he was on holy ground. How long did God wait by that bush ready to break forth in a glorious new revelation? Only until that final breaking moment when Moses truly no longer cared about his work or his reputation, when he gave up the last scraps of self-reliance, he found revelation. The Lord Jesus stood on this same holy ground. The scriptures say he made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant. as we've read, Philippians 2:7. He goes on, shunning reputation and becoming a servant was a willful choice. Thank God for those who once again are being called to such holy ground, seeking to decrease that he may increase, and prepared for servanthood. One great man of God wrote, "The man of God who truly preaches the word will finally give up the idea of being known. If he preaches Christ, his reputation will constantly decrease and Christ will increase. True prophets die unknown. God gives them their dues only after they die." I believe that if we seek a larger, more widespread reputation, something is missing in our message. Self is too prominent. Christ should be gaining and we should be losing recognition. We should be less known as the years go by until, like Paul, we end up shut in with God. He ends with these words, "May we all decrease. May he alone increase. God help us to get back to this holy ground." Let's have the worship team return tonight. I trust we can hear the beauty in these words. May there be nothing left of the old self-assured me, that I get on holy ground. Would you make that your prayer tonight? Let there be nothing left of the old self-assured me. When we give up the last scraps of self-reliance, we find revelation. I believe that's a word to some here tonight. Give up the last scraps of self-reliance and you will find revelation. God will break out in your life. Don't hold on to that self-reliance. Shunning reputation and becoming a servant is a willful choice. We all have to choose to humble ourselves and become obedient, just as Christ did. Let us seek to decrease that he may increase, that we are prepared for servanthood. Can we agree tonight to finally give up the idea of being known and say, "Not to us, but to your name be the glory, God"? More of you and less of me. Let what strikes the vision be Jesus. The Lord will do what he wants with his servant, and this is all we need to know. No matter what he chooses for us or how he chooses to use us, we, like Jesus, make ourselves of no reputation. We, like Jesus, take on the form of a bondservant. And we, like Jesus, humble ourselves and become obedient. Let this mind be in you. We might be here tonight and we need to lay down the self-assured us, the self-assured you. We got to give up those last scraps, the last scraps of self-reliance. We need to come and surrender the last scraps. Quit carrying around the scraps. Surrender them. Give them up. The last scraps of self-reliance. No more pumping up our own reputation. I don't know who that speaks to tonight. It doesn't have to speak to a young person. It could speak to anyone here tonight. Maybe it's out in the world. I don't know. Maybe it's on social media pumping up our own reputation and God's just saying, "That's not the way. That's not the way." This is not about us being known. It's about him being known. That he strike the vision. And the call remains the same as it was back then. It's the same call today, that we would take on the form of Jesus, the great bondservant, and that we would humble ourselves and we would become obedient. And maybe that's the scraps tonight. It's pride. You try to deal with it, but there's still the scraps. You're not winning. And Jesus is saying tonight, come and surrender. Come and give up the last scraps. Humble yourself and become obedient. To me, this is a beautiful picture of receiving salvation. We humble ourselves, we come, don't we? And we say, "God, I'm wretched. We're not going to do away with that word. Let's not polish it up or change it. I'm wretched, and I need you. Without you, I'm bankrupt. Without you, it's hopeless. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your glory, and we humble ourselves. We received his gift of salvation. But you know what happens when we get up off the floor and we walk out? Become obedient. Become obedient. We can't go on living in disobedience. We can't go on living with whatever mind we want, with whatever opinion we want, whatever views we want in this life. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind, again, I want to remind us how many options there are. One. So this message tonight, we don't leave here going, okay, there's a couple options. Let this mind. Now, how many know if we all get the mind of Christ, there's going to be unity in the church? If we all get the mind of Christ, there's going to be unity in the kingdom. If we all get the mind of Christ, there's going to be unity in the home, unity in our marriages. It's going to change everything. Unity in the team we serve in. Because we got the mind of Christ. We don't have different opinions and different views. We have the mind of Christ. And I know we do have different opinions. We understand that on certain things. But it's the mind of Christ that takes over. It's his view that affects everything. It changes us. We have his mind. And that's so beautiful. We can stand tonight. Luke 14:33. Likewise, unless you surrender all to me, giving up all you possess, you cannot be one of my disciples. I don't know what it is tonight. We're just going to lift up this song. The team's going to lead. If you feel you need to respond, the altar is always open. Someone would love to pray with you. If you need to just let go of the last scraps tonight, tonight's the night. Don't leave this place hanging on to the last scraps. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we just talked about humbling ourselves. The Bible clearly says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is tonight, whether we believe it's truth or not, it's truth. And if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, or you say, Lord, reveal yourself to me right now, he will run. He will be there. If you don't know Jesus, come tonight. We'd love to pray with you and give you a Bible. Can we as a church just sing out this beautiful chorus, Oh, Praise the Name? And just take a few moments and lift our hands and focus in on the one who is everything to us, the one who is our Lord, the one who is our Master, the one whom we willingly serve as bond servants, and say, God, we choose your will. Would you just surrender your life tonight? Would you say, Lord, take my life. What do you need it for, Lord? Take it as a ransom for whatever you need it for. Take it as a ransom to bring freedom in the community, God. Take it as a ransom to bring freedom in the workplace, God. Take it as a ransom to bring freedom even in your kingdom where there's bondage, Lord. Take it as a ransom to bring freedom in the home. Speaking of surrender tonight, let's sing it out.